This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going there, Matt?
Going good.
Good.
So,
Mountain Fair week.
Woohoo.
Oh, already.
Yes, it is. Getting ready to go light up the entire park with Wi-Fi.
There you go. So.
And I find it, I don't know if you've like heard the Carbondale Arts basically in cooperation with the U.S. Bank basically has it set up to provide Wi-Fi to all the vendors at Mountain Fair. I find it humbling that the sheer number of people that show up in Carbondale during Mountain Fair combined with the vendors were enough to crater out the cellular system in past years. And basically vendors were not able to do transactions and such over the cellular data. So that's pretty remarkable.
Speaking of which, who's your carrier?
Let's see. I am using, I send my money to Comcast,
mm-hmm.
Xfinity. And I know that they use the Verizon infrastructure.
Okay.
So what about you?
I'm on Verizon, and it's just been kind of, you know, I think over the last like 4 months, 5 months,
mm-hmm.
It just has been kind of flaky.
Yeah.
For me. So I was just kind of curious
mm-hmm.
to see if,
yeah,
what infrastructure you were on and see, you know, some people I've heard T-Mobile's pretty good now mm-hmm. With their investments. So I'm just kind of curious and wanted to see if other people had that, have had that experience. So 970-963-2976, call in, with a question or, you know, how's your wireless vendor doing for you?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the things that, came up when, remember there was a fire that caused some damage to
Well, there was
a big outage in the valley. What is it, about a month ago?
Yeah, I saw a picture. There was a little crypt where they had some fiber stuff, and it got damaged with that fire in West Glenwood.
Oh, okay, got it.
But if it's the one I'm thinking of,
well, yeah. But what I was gonna there was a lot of talk on Facebook and so forth, disgruntled people about they're like. You know, the fire had damaged one carrier's infrastructure, but everybody's data went out. And a lot of people are like, why the heck does my T-Mobile data go out when cell phone X gets, you know, their infrastructure damaged? And what a lot of people don't know is that it's a real... what would you call it? It's a real patchwork quilt of what we call the digital backhaul. The backhaul terminology basically means whatever the connection is that goes from that cellular tower to connect it to the larger data network, the internet or the cellular data network. Or whatever.
At that point, it's all fiber.
Uh-huh.
You know, doing that job. So
exactly.
There's fiber up. There's fiber from the. Cell phone tower, fiber goes down somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know, goes into some switching components, and then, you know, goes back to Denver.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much all of it. I don't know. I think they're working on something going out towards Green River and up towards mm-hmm. Utah, or up towards Salt Lake, but I don't know that infrastructure is in place yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's only so many there's only so many fiber runs and... you know, there might be, you know, I don't know how big the fiber pipes are, but it might be, you know, 16 pipes or it might be, you know, a couple hundred pipes coming in and out of the valley mm-hmm. here. And so, you know, T-Mobile might have a pipe there and, you know, AT&T and so mm-hmm. on. You know, so, but if that one fiber line gets cut, it all comes to a screeching halt.
Exactly.
You know, and then there's some other wireless technologies that, some vendors have worked with, and it's kind of, you know, a secondary way to route out from here.
Sure. Well, the key thing being that if infrastructure goes, you got a telephone call?
We got a call.
Okay, nice.
You're on with the geeks.
Hello.
Let's try that. Hello.
Let's try that again. Here we go.
Hey, it's Craig from Rifle.
Oh my God, I was about to come and do a wellness check on you, dude.
Well, you see, I'm talking to you on a copper line landline.
That's why you sound so metallic.
So when the it's not me. It's because I'm listening to you outside, and it's reflecting off my speakers.
Nice.
Anyway, when the power goes out, everything works. If you're on a landline, if you're talking to a landline, because it's a low voltage system, and unless someone takes a pole out, everyone's good. When all the cellular goes out, you're kind of screwed. And not to say that I don't have cell phones; we have a couple of them, but I'm on this CenturyLink with my internet also, and it's not the fastest, but it never goes down. I never have an issue. Mm-hmm. And if I'm using my Verizon phone, I can use Verizon, or I can tie into my Wi-Fi, which is CenturyLink, for whatever that's worth.
Got it. Yeah. Well,
but the main reason for my call is, Louis, I went and had my computer fixed, as we had discussed. He had to rebuild and stuff. And I want to know, how do I get Edge off my damn Windows 11?
You don't.
Because I use Firefox, and so it comes up every time I can say close this window. You know, it's not that big a deal, but I don't like the idea that Microsoft is trying to control when I turn my computer on. Here's what you're going to look at. Is there a way to get rid of it?
Yes, there is. So first thing, and I'd be more than happy to text you these instructions as well. You know, if you don't have
it. You have my.
That's true. I do have your email. I won't read it on the air, but.
Okay.
I'll send you this list. But just in a nutshell, first thing, and I don't exactly understand why Microsoft has chosen to do this, but Windows 11.
You mean a major corporation that's worth billions of dollars trying to control everything you do would have a reason to have their stuff come up first? I'm shocked.
Well, okay. I guess now that you throw in the words to have their stuff come up first, that kind of pieces it together a little bit better for me.
Does Apple not do that?
Apple does not. I do not know of any chronic instances where Apple is a player in launching a particular piece of software when a Mac starts up. Spotify, on the other hand,
Safari?
Is what's that?
Do they launch Safari?
Not unless you the only way you could do that would be if Safari was open and then you went to shut your computer down and a little dialogue comes up and there's a checkbox that says reopen current Windows on restart. And that'll basically, and that's actually a great tip for Mac users in general. A lot of people don't, they ignore that box or don't think about it, but they'll wonder, it's like, why do I have six programs opening up like when I start my Mac up every time? And why does it take so long?
Well, on the other side is people don't turn off their Macs. They just close them.
Oh, that's true.
You look at the uptime, you're like, let's see here. This has been up for like 400 days.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Black Apple and hit restart and see if it stops being,
it's maybe a little bit doggy. Yeah, you know, or something.
So,
but real quick, to disable Edge from automatically starting in Windows 11,
just send me the thing.
Okay,
we don't need to take up the time on here. You've got my thing. Yep. I'd like to hear from you. And
got it.
Obviously, I'm listening. So I just thought I am on a landline.
Nice.
And it does work. I know this from decades ago when cells first came out. There were storms in Colorado Springs, and I'm talking back in the late 70s, early 80s. Power would go out, and on a landline, there's no power, but I could call my brother where I saw lightning hit, and I know he had no power whatsoever, but his landline still worked. And so when something hits and all the cell towers go out, Landline people will almost always be able to talk to landline people.
Well, as long as it's within the local extension.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, because the funny part about the landline is, at this point, it goes back to the head end, it goes back to the NOC, and then gets digitized, it goes onto the fiber network, and out to the internet.
And then ends up at some other local telephone office, wherever you happen to be calling to, and it gets converted back into analog, put back onto copper, and sent out to that person's
phone.
Well,
that may be, but in the 50-some years I've had landline, I've never had my landline go down where my cell has gone out many times.
Sure. Yeah, and we're just being curmudgeons. We're just harassing you,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, we're having some fun. I wonder if the fiber was severed and you tried to call another number that was on that branch, in Rifle, it would probably continue to function autonomously without without the fiber connection, making the rest of it work. So you might not be able to call Denver.
Yeah, let's go sever one and find out.
Yeah, you can't call GeekSpeak, but you can call the Rifle fiber guys and say, hey, the fiber's broken. So
do we have fiber guys in Rifle?
Well, it's all relative.
There is fiber in Rifle. I'm not sure if it's available for residents.
Yeah, whether there are guys to go with it, we don't know.
We're lucky to get KDNK in Rifle.
Yes.
And you can barely get it in Newcastle. So.
Yes, I know. So, all right, say hi to Patty for us, and take care, man. Yep.
All right, see you, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 970-963-2976. So I did find a command line to actually uninstall Edge.
Oh, cool.
So open up your command line, go to the Edge folder, so program files, Microsoft Edge applications, go to the version, go to the installer folder, and then type in setup.exe space hyphen uninstall hyphen system level hyphen verbose hyphen login space hyphen force hyphen uninstall. And that should nuke it from orbit.
Nice.
Just to be sure.
And I'm just going to say right now, they don't call it GeekSpeak for nothing. So
if you truly want to see, I might have to set up a VM and see how broken Windows is after running that command.
Because I was thinking, isn't it possible that that could be, that Edge could be on the list of Windows installed features? In add and remove programs,
yeah. I wonder how integrated it is with the start menu.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have all that. You have all the because it basically does every time you do open up. If you hit the Windows key and type in a search mm-hmm. term like Word, it's actually looking on the internet first and then looking on your computer.
Yeah, which is dumb,
but here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was just, I don't think we've touched on this for a while, but a lot of people don't realize that Edge is just a, what would you call it? A redecorated version of Chrome, basically.
Right. Well, it's Chromium, which is...
Chromium, yes.
Which is, you can actually download that one as well.
It's an open source version.
Yep.
In other words, it's a piece of software that you could download all of the underlying code that creates the software, and Microsoft basically downloaded that open source software and changed the color scheme.
Yeah,
put in some Microsoft
took out Google's tracking, tracking tools and implemented their own.
Okay, got it.
That's what I would say.
I did not know that part, but thank you. That only makes sense.
Yes, you got to get rid of your competitors' tracking information and implement your own.
Yeah, so they just redecorate it. And so a lot of people are like, I always get a little bit of a chuckle when somebody will say, I love Chrome, but I absolutely hate Edge. And
the underlying code is ostensibly the same.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, you don't like the color blue, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't, it's like, oh, I like to log into my Google account and not my Microsoft account. That's the user's view of it.
I find it funny how, on initial setup, a PC... Edge will basically come up on a PC and ask you to log into your Google account. I'm just like, how much of an ego death did Microsoft have to endure to actually put that on there, because, you know, I understand why they're doing it. It really streamlines everything, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that your Google account, when you log into Chrome and you log into your Google account in the Chrome browser, that it basically connects you, as long as you have the sync option turned on, it basically brings in all of your cookies, your history, your bookmarks, passwords, everything from your Google account onto that computer. So technically, if you do that in Edge, and I'm not trying to encourage people to do this necessarily, but if you do that in Edge, then Edge is going to be armed with all of that metadata that about your browsing habits. Anyway, it's a fun time to be alive.
Yeah. And then Windows 10 stops getting security updates in October.
Mm-hmm. So have you hacked the Windows 11? I think we talked about that.
I think we talked about it. Yeah. We're just, you know, it's just one show closer.
To us
not supporting Windows 10 anymore. Oh wait, Microsoft not supporting Windows 10 anymore.
No, I mean it's technically one show closer to us not supporting it anymore.
Right.
Because if Microsoft won't support us, I'll be darned if I'm going to support them. You know, that's all I got to say. So, yeah. Let's see what else is in the. You were kind of reading this story about the big ransomware. That happened. Big ransomware hack that happened over in the UK, and I think that the reason that, you know, I mean, you hear these stories all the time. But one of the key things that people don't think about on this stuff is that your personal passwords that you may be using to log on to your personal accounts on your work computer, if those passwords, you know, and yeah, a perfect set of conditions have to ensue for that to really endanger your work computer, but it can happen. And apparently, based on what I can parse out of this story, that's kind of what happened, that one of their employees had a really weak password, and that was the vector that the ransomware guys ended up using to get into the corporate network.
Well, and the other side is because of choices that were made now 20 years ago with password policies, people are still using these terrible policies that have been outdated for, I think, 9 years now since NIST changed their recommendations.
Yeah.
And you know, so you have these weak passwords that don't get changed, that aren't long enough. So, and I'm a big proponent of a passphrase, where it's a string of words. You know, that you memorize. It's basically a nonsense sentence. So I have a nonsense sentence that gets me to all my passwords that are, you know, 128 characters of random junk. So, you know, so, but we also, you know, have people that are just, you know, lazy, or, you know, you don't have the CTO or CISO of the company, or even the CEO of the company isn't pushing good policies for their passwords and having IT implement them in a way where they can't, where they're enforced and used. And this whole nonsense of changing your password every 90 days, you know, needs to end.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the realities is that whenever a new password requirement comes out, a whole team of shadowy figures are like starting to work to figure out, like, build a better password cracker that can navigate around that new password requirement, you know.
Right.
And granted, this isn't, you know, talking about the ones that are at the, you know, the 128 character phrases that
even my password to get to my passwords, assuming there's no you know, if it doesn't, as long as I don't type it into a computer that's compromised, that's the most likely way that, you know, it's like, because I had a client pick a strong passphrase. And then she came back to me, like, you know, 3 weeks later, and she's, they got past it. And this is like, and I, you know, it's just like, they guessed it. No, that's impossible. Even if you were guessing a trillion times per second, we're still talking about, you know, millennia. mm-hmm. of time going by to crack it. So
there was a keylogger on the computer.
One of the computers
originally got set up. You know?
Well, either on that one, and I think it took some time.
Use.
Yeah, I think yeah. I cleaned that computer pretty well, so I don't think it was that one, but. But that's one of those things where you have to sit there for a second and go, okay, I'm using my friend's computer. You know, how sanitary is the computer? You know, mm-hmm. When was the last time the toilet was cleaned?
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
And you have to, you have to be careful. You have to go, because I would never type my master password onto a computer that I wasn't 100% certain, was clean.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the things that people have to consider too. It's like, how safe are the library computers that you're typing into? Where are you mm-hmm. typing your passwords into?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you have to think about when you're doing security.
Absolutely. We got a few minutes left. 970-963-2976. They don't call Geek Speak for nothing. And, Matt and I are here ready to answer questions for you, or, you can tell us what the new, latest, and greatest thing in your tech world is at the moment. That company, that British company, was a 158-year-old company.
And had 700 employees.
700 employees that no longer have jobs because of that. They estimated that the ransomware, the price tag to recover the data could be as much as 5 million pounds, British pounds. So, yep. Let's see what else is going on.
What, 3-2-1 backup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You gotta make sure you implement your backups well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's been a lot of studies now about how fungi could be controlling your brain. Which is no big surprise to anybody that lives in Carbondale. I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist. None of us like the idea that tiny life forms manipulating our behaviors.
On the same token, you can say that there's been hundreds of studies at this point, I think, that show that gut biology is incredible control at the amount of control that forces over your body is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, well, I just had a suggestion come in via text that we could hit very quickly on how to disable Edge launching in a Windows environment. And to do that, you would right-click on the taskbar down at the bottom of the screen in your Windows computer. You would then see on the menu there would be a item called Task Manager. And you click on that, and in Task Manager, along the left-hand side are a series of icons. One of them looks like a little speedometer. And if you click on that, it will reveal a list of startup items, things that are launching when your computer starts up every time. And so be very careful when you're in there messing with this list, because you can really hose up your computer. it may be very easy to go, well, we don't need any of that. And then you disable them all. And all of a sudden your computer won't reboot. It's happened to me. It's probably happened to Matt.
When I was in high school, I was running Windows 2000, and I think I got I turned off as many of them as I possibly could.
Uh-huh.
And so I got the boot of Windows 2000 to be like 8 megabytes, or 8 or 9 uh-huh. megabytes. So it's like
screaming
fast with 100, with 128 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
So I had 128 megs of RAM to, or 120 megs of RAM to use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's enough to run one app now, right?
Barely.
But anyway, so what you do is you locate Microsoft Edge in the list, and you click on it, or you can right click on it and choose disable. And it's pretty much that simple. Then you go ahead and close the Task Manager and reboot your computer, and Edge should not pop up in your face anymore at this point.
Is it under startup items, or what's here?
Because
I think MS Config redirects you to Task Manager.
Because I think Task Manager is basically editing the startup config. Mm-hmm. And if you try that and it doesn't work, then call us up and blow us up next month, and we will eat some crow for you. So, let's see. What else do we have going on here?
Yeah, one of my favorite Linux distributions is going to be the new version 13 Trixie is going to be released on August 9th, and it's going to officially support RISC-V processors.
Okay.
So
risky business.
Yeah. So I just had to look. So anyway, that's something that's on my radar. I just looking to go off the beaten path and find open computing where things Terra corporations are not trying to spy on you.
Yeah. Well, that's always a good thing. And I'm going to bet that 5 years from now, you'll have to make an option to have them spy on you. I call me an optimist, but I just think it's inevitable, especially since there are open source operating systems. My prediction is that I think people are going to get more and more comfortable with open source operating systems, just because they're tired of being told what to do
You throw Linux on your machine and you can say, I want Firefox, I want Chrome, I want Chromium, mm-hmm. I want Brave. It doesn't care. It just goes, mm-hmm. You want that? Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, you know what that music means, Matt? It means that these people have wasted another 25 minutes of their lives listening to Geek Speak.
Yeah.
So hopefully one of their brain cells is smarter.
There we go. So. We'll be back on August 4th.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you all at Mountain Fair.